You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The scripture reading will be in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, who grant you, according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing now to the reading of this, his holy word, and this for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we ask it. Amen. This privilege we want to acknowledge at the outset, and also acknowledgement of our limitations. And so we look to you for grace that will be needed here as you move in our midst, as the Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. As much as we can, Lord, we want to express that gratitude in worship, in spirit and truth this morning. And so would you be pleased to cleanse us now and to sanctify us as a people unto yourself, in order that your purposes would be accomplished right here and right now. And these graces, because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. To pull our thinking together now, we've been looking at the ministry of the Apostle Paul as the Spirit energizes him to unveil us this sacred secret called the mystery, and addressed to us for our faith obedience and for edification of God's people. And we've learned a few things already, that in order to understand these things, we must have a heart desires them. That is, that's why in the first chapter we noted that we should pray to be enlightened in order that we might know what the hope of our calling is. God's grace is opened up to you when you do this. It places an obligation upon him. It's not something I can teach you. I can only point it out to you. Effort has to be made on your part to understand. And we learned that one of the unique features of this great secret is that God is now making of all races that come into his government one new man. And that new man is referred to, as we'll see later on, as being brought to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That just boggles the mind if you follow that to its conclusion. And that new man is where there's neither Greek nor Jew, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. All other things are set aside to that one end. And now we come to another prayer in the third chapter to give us a little more light. For this cause I bow my knee, verse 14, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word whole is actually should be translated every family in order for you to understand it better, because it's the word fatherhood. So that a father, of course, is symbolic of the family. There are families in heaven and there are families upon earth. And they're all named after this new creation, as we shall see. And in order that little word, these little that's you see there is an order that. The Greek word hema. One thing leads to another. In order that, you may understand better, see. In order that you grant you according to the riches, there's that word plutocrat again. It does not mean ordinary riches, it means the elite. So there's an endless light that can be given to those who desire it in order to be strengthened with the might of his spirit in the inner man. Keep in mind, the old man, Adam, is dead as far as God is concerned. He's not interested in him. He's washed his hands of him. We've died with him. We've been buried with him. We've been raised to heaven in the heavenlies to be seated with him, so that the old man God is through with, the one you keep trying to prop up all the time. God is through with him. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell. Now, our Lord comes to live in every man that is saved, but this little word dwell here means to feel perfectly at home. You may have a man who comes to dwell in your house, but he may not feel at home. He feels out of place if the atmosphere of you is not in harmony with what he is. You've had a guest in your home. You've been a guest in some people's home, I'm sure. And there are times when you feel at home with them. And there are times when you don't feel at home with them. But the desire is here that the inner man may feel perfectly at home, relaxed, so that there can be a real, truly a fellowship. And the mystery is a way secret to that we'll see in a minute. That Christ may feel perfectly at home in your hearts, in order that you be rooted and grounded in love. We stopped last week, you remember, to look what love was in the sense that God speaks about it. It's a selfless love. The best definition is spelled out is in 1 Corinthians 13. Take the time to see what love is and what love is not. This word is bandied around today in such a frivolous way that people sort of lose the meaning of it. And this Christ being feeling perfectly at home will lead toward your being grounded in the Word and in love. And now that leads to what we want to see right now, verse 18. Be able to comprehend, understand with all the saints, what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and depth, and now put the ellipsis in there of the mystery, because that's what the subject matter is all about. Now, notice that's four dimensions. The height, or rather it begins with the word breadth, is broad enough to take in all of God's people, or as many as will receive it. Its length has no measurement because it is from eternity to eternity. It takes the whole scope of what the mind can envision. In depth, makes me think of a verse back in Deuteronomy chapter 33. I believe it's verse 27. I'll just... is speaking of God, says, underneath are the everlasting arms. How far is underneath? Underneath. Well, project your mind. Anything you want to think about, and underneath that is what? The everlasting arms. As David said, though I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I flee to the mountains, you're there. If I descend into hell, you're there. If I go into the depths of the sea, you're still there. There's no way you can get away. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And the height of it, we read that we've been raised and seated together far all principalities and powers. These are the dimensions, but now to get into the heart of the matter. I'll call your attention to a verse that you're very familiar with. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Reconciliation is a two-way street. You must receive that reconciliation, of course. When you do, well, here's what I want you to see this morning, is if I can get it across to you. What that means to you. I really ought to have a blackboard here this morning, but I think I can draw the pictures so that you can see it. In the Old Testament, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God." Now that puts God at center stage, just as if I have a blackboard here. Look at the word God in your mind. This word here in that context is a uniplural noun. The word one, echad, has nothing to do with numbers at all. It has to do with status. For instance, you're a human being. There's just one mankind. There's just one angelic kind. There's just one Godhead kind. There's just one kind of horses. There's just one kind of cattle. Everything after its own kind. There's creeping things. There's birds after their kind. So the word God is a status. It has nothing to do with numbers at all. Now, as far as we know, and we have to look at this, and it seems almost blaspheming to say this, but I don't know how else to put it. When we speak of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, speaking of a role that they play in the drama of life that we're involved in, it is not a role that is not real, it is real. Because that is their place in the outworkings of God's purpose. And these are the only three persons that we read about in Scripture. If there are others, we know nothing about it. The Bible only knows about three persons in one that make up the one Godhead, or that status of God. That means that he has certain attributes. Namely, that he is immutable. He never changes. He's omnipresent. He's right here. He's closer to you than your breath. So when you tell a dirty story, remember that. He's closer than the man that's hearing the story. And someone apologized, said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. You know, you're not really important, but God is." That's how close he is. He's omnipresent. And God is almighty. He is the El Shaddai, that's the word. Nothing is too hard for him. He is the Elohim, the great creator. He is the Jehovah, the God of covenant. He demonstrates himself in the fatherhood, in the sonship, and yes, even a feminist, because that word I just quoted a while ago, underneath the everlasting arms of God, that's a feminine noun. Perhaps it can be best illustrated in Adam himself. When Adam was created, later on, not at the original creation, but at the original creation, Adam, after that, Eve was taken, what? Out of Adam. So that there is that feminist part, too. Note carefully that these are the only three persons that have these attributes. None of us have. That's when we talk about God, we're talking about a status. You understand? We're talking about a human being. A human being has some attributes too. He can reason. He can think things out. Animals don't seem to have it. They learn by instinct. They have built-in antennas, so to speak, and they conform to the circumstances. And so you can learn that man, of course, if he's just man or animal, nothing else, you can teach him like you can a dog just to repeat himself. But he is the exception. He can break that and think for himself. A horse has a status. A cow has a status. You don't get them confused. God has a status. Now we're talking about the attributes that make up whatever we're talking about. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ left the ivory palaces of glory and came down, he became a man. He laid aside his glory and stopped right here, and so that you understand what the word glory means. It's the esteem. Men did not esteem him to be God. He laid that aside. He thought it of no reputation. He made himself no reputation. He took off his Godhead aspect. He never deserted the fact that he was God, but nevertheless, he did not emphasize that fact. He spoke of himself as the Son of Man. Perfect identification. He was a man, a very real man. Yet he was God. In the first chapter of Romans, we're told he was born of the seed of David after the flesh, declared the Son of God, proven by the resurrection. The fact that he could die demonstrates that he was a man. The fact that he broke the seal of death demonstrates that he is God. For the first, and turn, if you will, just hurriedly to Colossians just for a minute. This is also a part of the prison ministry. The first chapter of Colossians, verse 18. Speaking of Christ, he is the head. You remember we studied a little bit about what we mean by head? He's the source. Like a great river, it flows from its head. He is the head of the body, the called out of God, who is the beginning. Now we're talking about the body of Christ, that's us. And Christ is the beginning. And when it began? The firstborn what? From the dead. Most of us think about being born. We're born when we come from a mother's womb. But Christ, as the head of a new race, came to be in his death and resurrection. This is not the ordinary word for born. To be born, the word comes from the word Genesis and technon. Technon means to bring forth. And Genesis, you know what a generator is. That's the idea of birth. When it speaks about you must be born again, those are the root ideas behind it. But this is not that word. This means original, in the sense that Christ is the firstborn, or the first out of the dead. He really had the authority. Broke that seal of death. He became the federal head of a new creation. That's the new man we're talking about. The federal head, just as Adam was the federal head of a race, Christ is now the federal head of a new race. And what is that new race? Is it God? Is it man? It's God-man. And without controversy, Paul says, without controversy, great is this mystery, that God manifests in flesh. And this came forth at the resurrection. Notice the wording carefully. Verse 18. He became the firstborn of what? Of the dead. In all things he might have the preeminence. Just as in the human race, who is the preeminent one? Adam. In the God-man race, who is the preeminent one? Christ Jesus. Hence in Philippians we read of the God-man now, not just God. He is God, he always was. Now let me stop and inject something here, a little aside from things, but occasionally you find a lot of the cults who deny the deity of Christ. And where God is spoken of as being, like in, say, for instance, in John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. They try to make something out of that and say, well, at last they're speaking of a God. And even if you, there's no sense getting an argument about the Greek, the grammar about it, but the little verb itself settles the whole matter. It's the little verb was. It's a continuous action verb. It means continuous action. God just was. He was, 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 he was. In the beginning, was. And the God was. So God has no beginning. He just was. But when he came down and became a man in the resurrection, he became a new creation, the head of a new creation, just as Adam was the head of a new creation. Turn with me to Galatians 2 and verse 16. About Abraham, from Abraham's seed. 3:16, I got the wrong chapter. Thank you. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and that seed is Christ. But now, we do not come from the promise to the seed of Abraham. We come to the seed himself as our source, not Abraham. In other words, we are born what? Of his seed. Not of Abraham's seed, but of his seed. This is the one that prophecy spoke about. This is a part of what Paul used as a secret of Christ to show his reasoning and why he could now talk about the mystery itself. You and I are born now into a new race of people. We were born first in the Adamic race. We come under a new race entirely. A race who heads it up is the firstborn of the dead. That means the original. He is the original of what we spring from. Note carefully that he has exalted us too. He's raised us up. He's seated us where? In the heavenlies, far above all other principalities and powers. In Ephesians 4:13, you might take a look at that. We've looked at it many times, but just to refresh your mind. Ultimately, God is bringing us to the fullest. Ephesians 4:13. Bringing us up to the fullness of the stature of Christ. You see, the acorn is a small thing, but when it reaches its maturity, it becomes a mighty oak. You were born of his Spirit. And just as you were born of the Spirit from Adam, you bore the image of Adam. You were a part of that race. That is dead as far as God says that's dead. You have died with Christ, Colossians 3, and your life is now hid in God with him. This is why when John says when we see him, we shall be what? Like him. Amen, brother. That's right. This is, notice that in the Psalms, in the Old Testament, the 8th Psalm, speaks about he was made a little lower than the angels. But actually it doesn't say that. It says he was made a little lower than God, as a God-man. Now the Greek in the New Testament says he was made a little lower than the angels. It was true, because he identified himself with the human race. But now he has risen from the dead. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's been given not a name, but the name. We'll be seeing all these things as we go through this mystery eventually, but I'm just not laying out the signpost for you. We're going to fill these gaps in. He's given him the name that is above every name. That the name of Jesus, and actually if you put that in the Hebrew, it's Yahshua, which means to Jehovah Savior. The name that's above every name. Every name, regardless of when, must bow to that name. And that's the God-man now, mind you, that bears that name. As God, he was Jehovah. He was not a Savior till he came down here. But now, the God-man is above all things. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at these three persons. We'll be dealing with these things in more depth, I trust. You can see I'm dealing with material here that's hard, as it reminds me of the days when Jesus said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, is that it was too hard to say. He couldn't take it in. And so he turned to his 12 and he said, would you go away too? Are you offended? He said, where else can we go? Thou hast the words of life. So don't be offended when we say these things, because eventually you'll begin to see how that they are. I'm just pointing the signposts out to you now. We'll try to fill them in the best we can. You can see this is material that angels fear to tread into. As fools do. We've been fools for Christ, you see. We're just learning like you are. But we have been exalted far above all principalities and powers. God never said that to anybody prior to the unveiling of this sacred secret. Oh, Israel has some wonderful blessings. The holy city as it comes down to this planet is a wonderful thing too. But you don't find any exaltation like this except into that part that was called the secret. It was not the revealed plan of God, but the hidden purpose of God. I tell you, the human mind cannot take hold of all of the facets of this great, like a great diamond. It has so many lights. But to suffice it to say, we can see enough. It should cause our hearts to burn on fire to see the glory behind it. One day we will. We're just in the kindergarten here. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get into college? But this is what this prayer is about here now. That you might know the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of this love. Now, love, as I said, is well defined in 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I pointed you last week to Luke 6, 32, 33, and 34, how that's well demonstrated in the grace of God. And I quote the idea behind it. What profit is there if you love one another? What grace have you? Because even the heathen do that. You see, God looked on you when you were his enemy. And he loved you in spite of that. That's a selfless love, you see. We as human beings know very little bit about that. We can say the words and quote the definitions, but it does not tell us anything other than the definition. Experimentally, we know very little about a selfless love. And that's what grace is. It's God's action. He's demonstrated all His Son. No man has seen God any time. The Son, He alone, has revealed Him. And the Holy Spirit is now, as we've seen, when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will take the things of mine, He will show them unto you, He will guide you into all truth. So that, at 16th chapter of John, if anyone wants to remember that. So today, what the Holy Spirit is doing, He's taking of Christ to those who have that burning desire to know. He's taking of Him, He's making Him known. Just as Christ, when He was here, made known the God that sent Him. Notice the action in their lives. It each plays his role. In the 9th chapter of Isaiah, we learn that unto us a child is born, unto a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, notice, Everlasting Father. That's the Son. So the Son plays the part of a role of a father too. Notice the Holy Spirit. Gabriel talking to Mary. That holy thing that should come upon thee, should cover you. And that Son should be called the Son of what? The Highest. Who was it? The conception came by who? Holy Spirit. Here's the fatherhood there demonstrated in the Spirit. Each one plays its own role in the scheme of things. And if it bothers you again, just remember Paul's word, great without controversy, great is this secret. See that God has done this in the flesh. We don't have to understand all the ins and outs of it. But, beloved, is it necessary on our part when God opens our eyes that we receive it by faith? That's what it means to believe. And not be skeptical, not be doubtful. I know if you look at things as they are right now, I cannot imagine a single one of you ever being raised to the place where you are the highest exalted creatures of all creatures. And yet our Lord sort of let the cat out of the bag one day when he was talking to the disciples. He said, you have little faith. But if you have faith even as the grain of a mustard seed, you say to that mountain, get gone. See? Well, you know, I don't know anything about it. That don't make any sense at all, you know what I mean? But I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, if he had said to the mountain, it is went a-scatting too. I know that he walked upon the water. And you remember Peter for a split second had enough faith to take about two steps. And he saw the circumstances he was in. He looked down at them waves rolling down there. Boy, that's crazy. And he started to sink. Why? He lost his faith. But to be exalted above that place where Jesus is, he is the firstborn. Keep that in mind. Firstborn out of the dead. That's the resurrection. People are not born in death. They're born in life, see? So, we've set the tone here now. If it sounds too much for the mind, notice how this prayer closes. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ. We know about the love of Christ. We've seen it demonstrated. We have illustrated a little bit. That's the grace of God in action. This is past, notice, it passes knowledge. So if you think you're going to analyze it, with knowledge, you're whistling Dixie. It passes that. Now, this leads to what? To be filled or controlled, if you will, with the fullness of God. Now, if all this seems so fantastic, notice how it closes. Now to him that's able to do exceedingly above all. In other words, if you think that I'm being wild up here, then you look at that verse now. He can do above all that we ask or think according to this. This is the word dunamis again. Inherent power, which he energizes in us. And this has in view his glory in the called out. The called out of now. Not just the called out, but the called out of now. And how long? To the Greek is to the generation of the ages of the ages. Again, that's past human knowledge. How can we know what eternity is? We know that we have it demonstrated. When our Lord was upon the planet here, Moses and Elijah appeared with him upon the Mount of Transfiguration. How do you think they got here? They stepped out of eternity into time. That's what eternity is. It's where time does not exist. It sure worked nice for the ladies. They'll never be late. No time will be there. You have all the time. And you know, in a way, we may think that's rather strange, but you know, this demonstrates an attribute of God. Women do not look at time by the clock. They look at time by the event. That's why if they're going to go out to a highfalutin dinner, they may be a half hour late getting ready because they're not thinking about the time, they're thinking about the event. Now, men are just the other way around. They're looking at the clock all the time. If you got anybody working for you, you find that out. So that's not a down put for the ladies, that's an encouragement. That's evidently the way God looks at things too, as an event, not as time. Our time is gone, so we'll have to stop. Father, this has been a wonderful thought and that we've been dealing with this morning, and one that requires individual plumbing by all of us. May the Holy Spirit encourage us now to be studious, not just to satisfy our academic understandings, but to be drawn closer to you, to know what it is to have Christ feel perfectly at home in our presence, to know what it is to be controlled by the fullness of God. I know that humanly speaking, this seems beyond our grasp, but you promised that this is not, and that you do abundantly above that which we think or act upon. God, help us to be in this tune with you, in order that we may not only please you, but to worship you in spirit and truth. Honor your great Son in this, Father, because we ask that you continue grace and patience with us. And this for Christ Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions info@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.